It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Labatt Studio. It's quarter number three, which means it's time for Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. They are your questions. Keep them short and sweet. A little salty and sassy always works as well. The question that Ross deems number one this week will receive a tailgate box, courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. You'll get various rubs and sauces all wrapped up in a nice package. Ross, it was 5 pages worth after the Michigan game. Five of them. So we got a lot of them. Are you ready?
I am always ready.
All right, this one's from Ryan in Omaha, Nebraska. Hey, Ross, did Penn State's offensive swagger move to Mississippi State with Joe Moorhead?
Well, how's Mississippi State doing?
I was going to say, they've had some clunkers.
They've had a couple clunkers, but I'm watching them. They're getting better.
I will say this. Moorhead's got a lot of swag.
Yeah. He definitely does.
Moorhead definitely has a lot of swag, and I think that it's fair that some of the swag left.
I think it's a good point, too.
They don't get the big plays they used to. They're not connecting on them.
They're not discoverable, it doesn't look like.
How many times the last 2 years was it like a big throw down the field to Gesicki or Hamilton or even Tompkins and these other guys?
Saeed Blacknall. There you go.
Saeed Blacknall. He didn't really play very much. Can we not just argue that he deserves another year of eligibility? Irv Charles made a couple plays. Where'd he end up, by the way?
I don't even want to guess. I have no idea.
I bet you he's getting holding penalties on punt return somewhere.
So, anyway, it's the thing with Joe is his team started out like a they started out really hot at Mississippi State. Then they had some clunkers and the offense was sputtering. And now they're firing on pistons again. That's Joe Moorhead.
I don't think there's swagger left because the first 5 games of the year, Penn State was averaging like 50 points a game.
Right.
I think that they've had a lot of guys that have underachieved and disappointed. And I think that's it.
Okay. Let's go to Herbert from Puerto Rico. I'm not going to try and say the town.
That's not in Pennsylvania.
No, that is not in Pennsylvania. He says, hey, Ross, love your analysis. The defense looks tentative most of the time instead of going out and making a tackle or a play. Is this a coaching problem, an experience problem, or an overthinking problem?
I don't know if I noticed that. I would say it doesn't feel like they're as aggressive defensively as I feel like they used to be or they should be. You know, it's funny. All I remember from that Big Ten championship season – are the big plays down the field and like them blitzing Koa Farmer and guys off the edge every play. Yeah. Brandon Bell. It just doesn't seem like they blitz as much. I'd have to really sit down and study it, but watching maybe Steven Johnson, does he give us a, Steven, do you have like a blitz percentage here? That'd be nice. He's got base, nickel, goal line. Steven, you are slacking. I need a blitz percentage compared to previous years. This guy's unbelievable, by the way.
Yeah, that's a nice spreadsheet.
Unbelievable. But it doesn't feel like they blitz as much. I'm starting to feel like their corners are almost the strength of the defense. Amani Reed and Tariq. I almost feel like they should blitz more and put more on those guys. Although, you know what? Just prepping for this game. You know Penn State leads the Big Ten in sacks?
Yeah.
Yes.
How is that possible? I feel like Etor gets a sack a game and that's it. It's unbelievable. What am I missing here? Who else is getting sacks?
Well, Shaka Toney had that six-minute blitz.
Yeah, he had that four-sack game in one quarter.
Four sacks in 4 minutes.
You know, Sharice got a couple.
Buckholz gets one.
Buckholz did not get any.
Did not play this year.
Windsor, excuse me.
Windsor gets one.
Windsor gets like one or two every 3 games. I'm sorry.
Torrance Brown has 3. No.
Sometimes I do it to myself, right, gentlemen?
Hey, guess what? I'm the same way, dude. I was playing memory with my girls the other night. And I'm not what I used to be.
Lots of it, yeah.
I'm just telling you, I am not what I used to like games like that. I used to be, I remembered, I hope it's age and not the football thing, because I'm not even close to what I used to be in, like, playing memory.
I'm as good as I once was, but I ain't as good as I ever was. So, all right, let's keep going.
I don't even think that's the phrase, by the way. I think you just butchered that.
Say Joe from Johnstown asks, Ross the Boss, what is happening? Not much here. My question is, why does Matt Limegrover seem to get a pass after a game like Michigan? The O-line looked embarrassing Saturday, and that was supposed to be a team strength. They looked like they never saw a defensive line stump before. I mean, go throw back to Akron's O-line from a couple years ago and put Penn State's uniforms on them. That's what it looked like to me. I'd really like to hear your thoughts. Does Limegrover need a little talking to from Ross?
So, I think the offensive line, first of all, Michigan's got some really, really good guys. I mean, they've got top two round picks on at both defensive ends. And really, Michigan in general has better players than Penn State does. Penn State doesn't have Chase Winovich and Rashawn Gary. Penn State doesn't have Devin Bush.
At number six, too. He was fast off the edge. I can't even – Blash, B-L-A-C-H-E, something like that. He had two sacks. Gary didn't even play that much. He played early, I think, just to show that he was getting better. But I don't even think they got the full Gary treatment. It just was – Ross is right. I mean, I don't know what else Penn State's offensive line is going to do. I think the right tackle position got exposed because I don't think they're very athletic at right tackle. Michigan took advantage of that. And the rest of those guys, you know, who had the better athletes up front? It was just Michigan. And by the way, I'm just really looking forward to that Michigan-Ohio State game. That's all I'm going to say.
I think it'll be awesome. And frankly, I feel like if Michigan doesn't win it this year, when will
they? It's now or never.
Because they're all fifth-year guys. Never, they're all old guys, too. Like, most of these guys are gone for them. Bush is gone. All, you know, Winovich is gone. Rashawn Gary's gone. I bet LaVert Hill leaves school. Go ahead.
You're listening to Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Check out the great 409 barbecue and tailgate wine at the GoPSURV.com lot every home game weekend. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Quarter number three, your questions, his answers. It's Ask Ross. This comes from Jay in Oxford, Pennsylvania. Hey, Ross and the team, you guys do a great job. Love listening to everyone. By the way, Jay, make your question shorter. I eliminated three quarters of it. But
yeah, short questions.
Short
dude.
Questions.
The shorter the questions, the more we can get to.
Yeah, Ross, I understand the team is young, but in your opinion, is it starting to look like the losses are becoming coaches' losses in particular, and maybe it's a bigger deal than we may have thought?
I don't think 42-7 is a coach's loss. I mean, in part it is. Losing by that amount it is, but Michigan has better players than Penn State. They really do. And the more this season goes, the more it seems like Penn State's best players are their youngest players, which
Agreed.
Is really strange and not what I expected coming in. I know they have a good recruiting class, but if you would have told me that Dotson would be better than like DeAndre Tompkins or Juwan Johnson, are you kidding? I mean, DeAndre Tompkins and Juwan Johnson have played a lot of football. And let me just say this too. Freiermuth's a nice player, but it's a failure if you have a true freshman starting at tight end. Like, it's a failure in their recruitment of Nick Bowers and Jonathan Holland and their development
Dalton.
Of those guys. And Andy Dalton. Is he hurt still?
I just don't think he's very big or very good.
So, but think about that. That's three tight ends that Freiermuth has leapt over.
Yeah. Leapt is right.
So they didn't recruit well at the position, and they have not developed well at the position. And so it's glass half full, glass half empty, glass half full. Freiermuth's a really good young player. Glass half empty. What is going on that he is – like, he wouldn't start for Ohio State or Michigan. Michigan has three tight ends. He would be Michigan's third or fourth tight end right now.
Or redshirted. Another way of asking that question, Ross, I think, is when's the last time you felt like Penn State won a big game and one of the reasons was they outcoached the other team?
Yeah, that's a good question. Now, do you think that is like our bias – and then we just don't see it that way, or?
I just, you know, I haven't had a game recently where I've come away thinking, boy, this could have went the other way, but Penn State either in-game adjusted or they just had a great plan and they really took away what the other guy did.
Even when they won, like against Washington, I didn't in the bowl game, I didn't feel like it was a great – I thought Ronnie did a nice job on offense, but defensively, I thought – that was a good question. Keep that one marked, Oxford.
Yep, I got it. All right, let's go to Lou in Wilkes-Barre. He says, hey, Ross, what are your thoughts on the run game? Are the run game issues against Big Ten teams due to the offensive line, game plan, offensive coordinator? It doesn't seem like Miles Sanders is really getting a chance. Thanks.
The run game is really concerning to me. It's really disappointing. You know, they ran it against Michigan State, but it was really just he had that long run, right?
Yeah, it was two plays, like a 48-yarder and like a 78-yarder were two of his carries.
I'm a little bit puzzled. I think part of it is the O-line. Part of it is they've had more success running it with Trace McSorley. You know, they've been getting more out of the quarterback, but now he's beat up, so people aren't as worried about that. You almost feel like they should bring in Stevens. I'll be really curious. I know we're going to talk about this in the next segment, but I'll be really curious to see how they utilize the quarterbacks on Saturday.
Yeah, we asked about it in quarter number
and
one.
Wisconsin's and Wisconsin's not easy to run against ever. And right. Wisconsin's got two very good linebackers. I love T.J. Edwards, number 53. He's been there for 7 years now, so he should be good. It's unbelievable how long that guy – he led them in tackles in 2015 and 2016.
I was surprised he came back because I thought he was ready to move on.
All right, let's go to Steve in Chicago. He says, all-knowing Ross, is it time for them to look at somebody else other than Ricky Ronnie? The offense hasn't looked dynamic, and they appear to have the same game plan each week, and no halftime adjustments are really being made. Is it a case of where Ricky Ronnie is maybe another John Donovan? Oof. Great show, guys. Keep it up. Thanks.
I would not go there. I think Ricky Ronnie did some really good things in the bowl game. I think Ricky Ronnie did some really good things earlier in the season. I think what's happened is, frankly, the quarterback hasn't played as well, and the wide receiver, the offensive line's not as good as they were earlier in the year, and the wide receivers have been disappointed. There was a decent amount of plays, I thought, against Michigan where Trace had time, and either nobody was open, or when he did throw it, he was inaccurate.
Yeah, they had three
catches.
It's a
bad combination.
Receivers had three catches against Michigan.
I think the wide receiver play and development, if you're going to make a list of the biggest disappointments, I think that's right there at the top. And it speaks to maybe the loss of Gattis and who they decided to replace him with. I just wonder if James would walk that back if he could.
Well, I think if any coach is going to move on or be let go after the year, I would think it would have to be the wide receiver coach just because of what's happened. Hey, I guess the flip side is – look at the good things Hamler and Dotson have done. Maybe you can say he's doing good there. Give it to the Oxford dude.
All right, Jay in Oxford, 409tailgateclub.com. Gift baskets coming your way. Stick around. Wisconsin Penn State preview coming up next.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.